So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Greetings, folks. Tommy Freedom here with another episode of Freedom Rings. And I'm going to start this one out by going over February white history. Now, I've got February, and March is going to be the last one because apparently this doesn't update itself every year. There's just history has already occurred, so there's no sense in going back over these unless y'all want me to, but I really don't think there's much sense in doing that. So next month will be the last one in the series of doing white historical events for that particular month. So let's start off here. This isn't going to take too long because there's only 12 in here, I guess, because not a whole lot goes on in February, number one. And number two, because it's short. One day doesn't make a difference, George. I think it's just because not a whole lot goes on in February. But anyway, on February the 1st in 1327, Edward III was crowned King of England. He was one of the most successful English monarchs of the Middle Ages, having transformed the Kingdom of England into the most efficient military power in Europe. On February the 1st in 1900, British colonialists began work on the Gotike, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, viaduct, which was a railway trestle in Myanmar, which back then was called Burma. And at the time, it was the largest railway trestle in the world, and today remains the largest in Myanmar. Now, you know, they're always renaming these countries. They're renaming Siam to Thailand and Burma to Myanmar, and I don't understand it. I mean, can you imagine Myanmar shave or a Myanmarese python? It doesn't sound right. I mean, just keep it Burma. On February the 4th in 1875, the German scientist Ludwig Prandtl was born in Freising. He developed much of the mathematics that we currently use in the science of aerodynamics. So I guess you could say that he was Der Vater of aerodynamics. On February the 16th in 1961, NASA launched the Explorer 9 spacecraft, and its mission was to measure the characteristics and composition of the upper thermosphere and lower exosphere over the entire globe. Now, I know there are several layers to the atmosphere. There's a stratosphere there somewhere. I have no idea which goes where, but it sounds like it was very interesting to those involved. On February the 16th, in 1948, Dutch-American astronomer Gerard Kuiper discovered Miranda, which was the smallest and innermost of Uranus's five major moons. On February the 16th in 1852, the Studebaker Brothers Wagon Company, which was the precursor of the Studebaker Corporation, was founded by five German-American brothers in South Bend, Indiana. On February the 16th in 1804, American naval officer Stephen Decatur, during the First Barbary War, executed a night raid into Tripoli Harbor to destroy the U.S. frigate Philadelphia, which had been captured. Admiral Lord Nelson called this the most bold and daring act of the age. February 17, 1965, NASA launched the Ranger 8 space probe. Now, its mission was to photograph the, let's see if I can get this right, the Mare Tranquillitatis, got it, region of the moon in preparation for the manned Apollo missions. Thank you, George. February 19, 1879, the foundation stone was laid for the Alexander Nevsky Cathedral in Sofia. The cathedral was created to honor the Russian soldiers who died during the Russo-Turkish War of 1877 to 1878, which liberated Bulgaria from Ottoman rule. Now, see, most people don't realize how long the Ottoman Empire was still in effect, folks. It was the late 1800s before it was finally broken up and we got modern-day Turkey. But the Ottoman Empire existed into very recent history. On February 19th, 1878, American inventor Thomas Edison patented his phonograph, a device for recording and replaying sound. On February the 28th, ooh, big jump there, in 1827, the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad was chartered by the state of Maryland. It was one of the oldest railroads in the United States and the first common carrier railroad. Of course, we know this today as the B&O Railroad, if you play Monopoly, opposite the Reading Railroad. It is pronounced Reading, as in Reading, Pennsylvania, even though it's spelled Reading. For those of you who do play Monopoly and have gotten into this argument with somebody at some point in time, it is Reading. And finally, on February the 28th in 1908, British astronomer Philibert Jacques Millot discovered Pasiphae, which is a satellite of Jupiter, while using photographic plates at the Royal Greenwich Observatory. So some interesting stuff there. And you know, we tend to have some interesting things we come to from time to time. But again, that one was a little bit short. There was a big gap there. There was almost a week during the month of February where nothing seems really to have happened. And again, I mean, it's slow. It's the middle of the winter for the most part. We're coming up on Valentine's Day. So I get all these pinheads and nerds and scientists and explorers and discoverers and inventors have better things to do than to invent or discover during that period of time. But that does wrap up white history for the month of February. You know, I'm going to kind of miss doing these because they're very informative and we learn so much about our heritage by finding out what happened, what was created by white people. Pretty much everything, but at least these have been documented cases. And again, this was all stuff that was sent to me by Brother Mike up in the state of New York. And again, this is why I tell you, feel free to reach out to me. If there's something that you want me to cover on the show, this is what Mike did. He said, hey, Tommy, I have this idea. Do you think that this would be good to share this white history? And of course, I said yes. So again, if you have something like that, you want to get in touch with me, TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. And it's not just maybe you want to hear a white pride song or something, but if you have any kind of an event that you want me to hype so that we can get out there and show support and just all hang out together, get to know each other, let me know. And it's not just that. I mean, if you have, as an organization, something going on, I mean, that's great. But one-on-one, if you stumble across some information or you have a question, there's something you want me to actually look into, something maybe I haven't thought of that needs some researching and to report on, by all means, let me know. That's what I'm here for. Also, if you happen to be listening in from a different organization other than the Knights Party, and you want to carry the show on your own network or your own podcast, just contact me and let me know. This is the TFR Radio Network. It is not simply just on KKK Radio. So the information is available. There is no charge for this. I do this as my community service to my fellow white comrades, brothers and sisters. I get this information out there. This is something that I do to keep my recording studio up and running, keep me familiar with my recording equipment, my mixer, keep everything up and running. So I do this one day out of the week, just to share information with my white colleagues. What's next, George? Yes. Let's find out what is about to happen in California. Now, I like this because I think we're dealing with karma. Now, first of all, if you're a listener who lives in California, by no means take this personally. I'm just looking at something here. I'm reporting some facts, and then I'm going to throw something in. This is not directed at you personally. It is directed at California as a state. So here is the headline on this article. Mudslides, floods, rain, howling winds, and 10 feet of snow. California braces for powerful and dangerous storm. Almost as good as Don LaFontaine, huh? Nobody can ever top Don LaFontaine. He was the best voiceover actor ever. I think he has like over a million credits on the IMDb. It's incredible. But anyway, they're saying here that a powerful and dangerous storm is forecast to batter the western United States over the next couple of days, especially California. Now, I am taping this on Monday, so by the time you hear this, it may already be in full swing. Heavy rain could trigger mudslides, rock slides, and floods, while feet of snow will bury the mountains. And forecasters say that rain will arrive at the north late Friday afternoon and reach Southern California late in the night and last through Saturday night. A flash flood... Ooh, this article may be old. When was this from? This was from February 1st. So, okay, this has already actually happened. Thank you, George. Thank you for weeding this out. It's all right. This is still good stuff anyway. All right, so you know that this has already happened when you're listening to this, so there's no sense in my reading the article, because that's not really important. What is important is the amount of weather phenomena that have pummeled the state of California since Donald Trump was elected to office. Have you noticed this? Now, I just wonder... California is, of course, the state from where Nancy Pelosi hails. Could this be a way to get back at her? Now, it's entirely possible that this is simply random. It is also entirely possible that maybe God really wants the wall and is punishing Nancy Pelosi for this. It is also possible that the Chinese or the Russians are using their weather modification systems to attack us. But what if we are using HAARP to get back at Nancy Pelosi? Think about that, folks. I know what's out there. And knowing George, I can't hear this because when it comes through from this end, I don't hear anything. But knowing George, he's probably playing the tune from the X-Files right about now. But just think about it. It would make perfect sense. If we do have the ability, which we do, to alter the weather and engage in weather warfare with the Russians, the Chi-Coms, and the Norks, could this be used as a form of political warfare as well? Ms. Pelosi, as long as you keep denying the wall, your state is going to burn. Your state is going to get drowned and then slide away. Very, very interesting, folks. All right, George, knock off the music. Okay, I've still got a few minutes left before I've got to take a break here. So I want to talk to you about DNA tests. You know, we all see these things on television about Ancestry.com and some of those. And people are so tempted to submit to these things. First of all, would you submit to a DNA bank? Yes or no? Chances are, most of you are going to answer no. Not only no, but hell no. But what are you doing when you voluntarily submit your DNA to one of these ancestry tests? Duh. Where do you think this information's going, folks? Don't ever fall for this. And here's the really, really dark part about this, is that you don't even have to do it. One of your family members can do it, and they can find enough DNA through one of your family members who was dumb enough to fall for this that they can find you. So be very, very careful about this. But first of all, when you get one of these things done, actually, I mean, this is information harvesting. They should be paying you for your DNA, not the other way around. Do you think that they are just taking this stuff and cross-matching it with other people? No. Where do you think they're getting the information from that they're cross-matching? They have bought it from a DNA bank. People are selling this information, folks. And what do you think they're doing with it? They're not just sitting on it. First of all, they're selling it to the insurance companies. Do you really think that a life insurance company that has access to this information is not going to buy these lists? Do you not think, or do you not realize, do you not understand that this stuff is being given or sold to law enforcement agencies, federal agencies, bureaucracies that all have this information? Now, let's just go back to the insurance companies. You know, it looks like I'm going far enough here. I may not even be able to take a break. But, you know, this is important stuff, so let's keep on dogging through here. So if you got a pee, hold it. Let's just say that the insurance companies are buying this information, which they are. Because if you've ever applied for an insurance policy, a life insurance policy, and folks, I know this because I used to be a licensed life and health and accident agent until Obamacare put me out of business. When you get these policies, you have to have a DNA test done. You got to submit, it's a little cheek swab. It tastes extremely awful. It's even worse than the old stamps used to be when you used to have to lick them back in the 70s and the 80s. This thing tastes horrible. But they go and they test you to see if you're a smoker. That's supposedly what this is for, to see if there's any nicotine in your system so that they know whether or not to charge you for smoker rates. But once they've got that information, they've got it, and it's going into this DNA database that not only files it, but they go through and they're looking for genes. They can do this, folks. They now have the technology to pull out certain genes and see who is who is susceptible in their family tree, their line of genealogy, to things like heart disease, cancer, birth defects. And don't think that's not going to affect your rate. If it comes back that there is a history of heart attacks, high blood pressure, or cancer in your family tree, they are going to jack your rates up or flat out deny you. So that's just one aspect of this, all right? Don't fall for it, because the insurance companies are going to use it to their advantage. So now that I got your attention, what are some other reasons not to submit to one of these ancestry DNA tests? Well, as I said before, they should be paying you because they are looking for anomalies in the genes and the genomes. And if they find something like that that shows that you have a resistance to cancer and they can find that gene, they're going to exploit that. And do you think they're going to compensate you for that? No. There was actually a case of a family in Connecticut who had bones that were unbreakable. They could not break an arm or a leg. I mean, theoretically, they could have collided with a freight train and gotten up and walked away, literally, just like that movie Unbreakable. This was real, folks. And they are looking into those genes. Do you think these people are getting compensated for their gene use? No, they are not. So what's another reason that we should not submit to these DNA tests? Well, as we all know, we have the right to remain silent. We also have the right against unreasonable searches and seizures. However, if you have ever voluntarily donated your DNA through one of these ancestry databases, your DNA is now on file. And if you do something, they can find you. And again, as I mentioned earlier, it doesn't even need to be you. It can be a family member. The Golden State Killer was caught this way. One of his relatives used one of these ancestry databases, and they found similar DNA that matched that at the scene, and put two and two together, and eventually caught this guy because one of his relatives had used the database. So now I know you're thinking, Tommy, you know, if you didn't commit the crime, what do you have to fear? Well, folks, we are always leaving our DNA behind. No matter where we go, we're shedding hairs, we're shedding skin cells. We might accidentally cut ourselves on a pipe and leave a drop of blood. And if one of those pieces of DNA ends up overlapped at a crime scene, you're now going to find yourself a suspect. This is why DNA databases are so dangerous. They have no place in our society. We've gotten to the point now where we actually need to start backing off of technology. It's gotten that advanced. It's gotten that much beyond our ability to control it. But it's not just looking at this from a law enforcement standpoint, invading our privacy that way. Google has now gotten into this. I told you, money is always at the root of all evil, folks. Follow the money, and you're always going to find that money. It may start as a dollar, it may start as a ruble, it may start as a rupee, but it always ends up as a shekel. Google now has its own quote-unquote ancestry database. And you've seen these commercials on TV, folks. 23andMe. 23andMe is owned and operated by Google for the sole purpose of extracting information and running a DNA database that goes far beyond anything that the cops or the feds would ever do. Because they're using our DNA to make a, what would you call it? I don't even know if there's a word for it, but to make a progressive chart on based on your DNA, things that you're going to buy and how you're going to operate. And folks, this is scary. You know, this is out there. You know, this really is where George should be playing the creepy music from before. But this is where we're heading. I mean, we are headed for the Twilight Zone. We are living in the X-Files with these DNA databases. This is not conjecture, folks. This stuff is real. And you should be scared to death. I am. Now, my DNA is out there. I mean, I had an insurance test done for life insurance when I was selling it because I bought a policy. I've donated blood to the Red Cross, and if you read the fine point, it says they can do whatever they want with your blood. And we all knew back in the early 2000s what that meant. By then, it was too late, so I still continue to donate blood. But if you donate blood to the Red Cross, you're in the DNA database. If you have ever got an insurance policy and had to submit DNA, you're in the database. If you've ever submitted to Ancestry.com or one of these other knockoffs, you are in the database. And again, not just you, but your relatives. If you've done this, you've put your relatives in jeopardy. If your relatives have done that, they've put you in jeopardy. Now, in the event that you think I'm following Ozzy Osbourne off the rails on a crazy train, in 2018, Bill Gates invested billions of dollars into a company called Ginkgo Bioworks that will synthetically take DNA and incorporate it into products like perfumes and fertilizers and artificially enhance them with traits that your genes offer. I mean, this is like the goats that they crossed with the spiders to make spider milk. I mean, that was just the beginning. That was genes. This is doing it on the DNA level, folks. This is something to be very, very scared about. Because once this starts, I mean, hey, we're looking at Monsanto. I mean, Monsanto controls all of our seeds. They get into this kind of stuff. You are looking at products not only dealing with the agricultural industry, but cosmetics, everything, maybe even down to gasoline, that is being controlled in the same way that Monsanto took over the seed industry. This is truly terrifying. Now, if that wasn't terrifying enough, what about cloning technology? What if now they are able to take this DNA and sort it out and clone certain individuals for their intelligence, or as I indicated earlier, that super bone density that could allow them to collide with a freight train and only sustain flesh wounds that they could walk away from. The government could take that technology and clone an army of super soldiers. And I know you're saying, Tommy, that's way out there, but it's not. The advances that we have had in science recently have become so rapid that it is now becoming exponential in the way that we discover these technologies and apply them. It's getting to the point where they're going faster than we can even keep up with it. This is all in the realms of reality, folks. Now, so far, I've been talking to you mainly about the scientific aspects of this, but what about the psychological aspects of this? What if, through a court order, you were demanded to turn over your DNA, say, for a paternity test? And it came back, obviously, maybe the child was yours or it was not, but it also turned up that your DNA didn't match one of your parents, or it didn't match any of your parents. Perhaps somewhere along the line, someone had been forced to pay child support that was not truly your father. Or perhaps you were adopted at birth and they never told you so that you would never know. So perhaps you've grown up thinking that this man was your father and he's not. Your real father is still out there somewhere. Or perhaps both of your parents are out there somewhere and people that you've grown up thinking were your mom and your dad really aren't. Would you be prepared to handle that psychologically? This is where we get into such gray areas. It's not cut and dry. When you're getting into your DNA being out there, and folks, we think it's bad that our cell phone number's out there, that our hospital and medical records are out there, that our social security number is out there, but our DNA is now out there as well. If you think identity theft has been a problem up until now, when they start hacking into the DNA database and getting not only your birth records, your health information, your social security number, your work history, but also your ancestral history, your basic DNA, the building blocks of your foundation of life, folks, that is the scariest possibility of all. And this is why we really need to start reeling in this technology. We need to start reining it back. It's going too far. It's going too quick. And as Jack Nicholson said, you can't handle the truth. It's not that we can't handle the truth. It's that we can't handle the technology. It's going so fast. And this is being done on purpose, so that only a very few people actually have the ability to understand this technology and keep it in check, while the rest of it runs rampant and tramples the rest of us. If you really want to see where this can go, rent the movie Gattaca with Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman. And it deals with a futuristic society where everything is based on DNA, and people who have altered DNA who have become perfect citizens, and those who are nearsighted or who have disabilities. It's a terrifying look at the future, and it is the way that we are headed. And on that note, I am out of time for this week. Again, as always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. If I can help you out with your organization, if there's anything you want me to go over, as I went over earlier with you, by all means, let me know. And again, if your organization wants to run this on its own airwaves, on its own podcasts, be more than happy to oblige. Just get in touch with me and let me know. So until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.